Good morning, everyone. My name is Carlos Cerezo. I'm from Spain. Well, I don't know if all of you know me. I don't think so. So I'm from Spain, from Barcelona. I'm here with my wife, Anna, my two daughters, Judith and Eva. And we're very happy to be here with you this morning. I will share with you some thoughts about Paul's letter to the Ephesians. I will do it in English, as you can see, since English is not my mother tongue. First of all, I beg your pardon, the English-speaking people. And if something is not clear, please raise your hand, and I'll try to clarify something that doesn't work very well. Okay? Thank you for your patience, in any case. So I wanted to share some thoughts with you. As I said, I will mainly use this. I like to communicate with slides. So I think it's visual, it's helping to convey the message, and since my memory is not as good as the one from some of the people over there, I really need some help for this. So I admire you, Paul, definitely. So most of you, I believe, are Christians, are committed Christians. You had an experience with the Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you can say with me, I was saved. But the point this morning is, you were saved for what? Is there a purpose for your salvation? And this is what we are trying to talk today. And we need to start from the very beginning. So, is there a purpose in everything we can see? If you go up to a mountain and you look to the universe, you see the stars, you see the planet, you see everything. So normally people make this question, so is all of this here by chance? Is there a purpose for this? Is there a purpose for the universe, or is it just a sequence of chances, one after the other, during millions of years? Well, we are not here to discuss science. It's not our target. But I think most of you will agree with me that it sounds very unreasonable that complexity obeys to something like chance by chance by chance by chance. So many people believe that there's a purpose behind this. There was like a divine architect who developed a plan, who had a purpose and decided to create. So the purpose starts from the very beginning of the creation, of the universe, of the existence, of everything. But then I was thinking about purpose and I thought, okay, so I believe there's a purpose in the universe, in the world, in everything we can see. So it seems that somebody's interested in us. Somebody's interested in history. So I started to think about history, and then I thought, okay, I will put together some milestones in history. I put some milestones. I'm pretty sure I forgot many, so again, I beg your pardon, some very important are missed, but some of those came to my mind. And I tried to find a relation between those milestones in history and the development of Christianity. So first of all, the invention of writing. Archaeologists say that was around the 8th millennium before Christ. And it's very important when you look at the ancient writings, the first writings they found maybe in Middle East or India or some of the places where the civilization developed, or in China. So what they were interested in, what are the writings about? It's about law, properties, boundaries, this kind of things. But about wisdom and about religion, because those are the important things that the civilization, that the people before us decided that were important. This is what is important. This is what we need to write. We need to keep. It has to stay here forever. It's important. And as a result of this, we find the writings of the Old Testament. The infrastructures. And then you can see a map here as a here below you can see, you cannot see very well because I cannot show the presentation with the map. But you can see there the Roman ways. And for those living in Europe or North Africa or Turkey, they know that there was those ways. The Romans developed the infrastructure to communicate their empire. And it's very important for us because, for example, in Spain, the main roads in Spain followed the same route as the Roman ways. And I was looking at this, and I could find Strasbourg. Strasbourg is there. And the route from Strasbourg to Barcelona, to my place, follows the same route. Amazing, isn't it? And I guess maybe the same for Jew people when you are traveling in different places in Europe. So the Roman Empire took place like, I don't know, 300 BC, something like this. They started to build infrastructure. But at the same time, we understand, looking at the history, that the expansion of Christianity happened following the roads, the ways, the Roman ways. And so again, we see like a purpose. Or a coincidence, maybe. We believe there's a purpose that is linking developments in the history with Christianity. And then we are jumping then to 1400, and then we have here the invention of the printing press in Germany. And you know what is the book they printed first? It's the Bible. And you know the book that has been printed more times? The Bible again. So definitely that was used for Christians. Definitely was used by God, by the Holy Spirit, to spread for the Bible all over Europe, and was definitely a big milestone for the Reformation. And then looking about, you know, the global empires, we were speaking about the Roman Empire. There were some others, like, for example, in, you know, in 1500, there was the first global empire where the Spanish and the Portuguese, they were to America, they're sailing the globe. Now is the 500th anniversary of the first round around the globe. So the world became something global and was not like this piece of land, everything. For people living in Europe, discovered there were other lands. The people living in America, definitely they knew before. But the good thing of this is that the world became global. And this is something for us is natural, but for the people living at that time was not. And what happened is that the Catholic missions started. Some years later, we have also the development of the steam locomotive, steam engine. The train happened, so the terrestrial, the land transportation developed very quickly. The British Empire developed, brought this to the whole world. And then we had the flourishing of Protestant missions. Normally we say that this happened around the time that William Carey started the missionary societies. So it's about the same time. You can see and spread all over the world. What can we say about the invention of the radio and the TV? That happened around the 20th century, beginning of the 20th century. And as a result of this, the gospel reaches most countries all over the world. And what about internet, personal computers, smartphones? Most of these developed at the beginning of the 21st century. And then in this moment, we can say that the gospel can reach every person on the earth. We can say now also that Christianity is changing dramatically. So the center of Christianity goes south. It's not European or North American anymore. Not at all. And now become multicultural, multilateral, multilingual. And that's the Christianity we have today. And I'd like to perform a small survey here. So I'd like that you, please, can stand up when I say your continent. Okay? Let's see what is our diversity here. So can you please stand up, those who were born in America, North and South America, please? America? Yes, Costa Rica is in America. Very good. Thank you. Central. I'm so sorry. Central America. You're right. I'm so sorry. Central America as well. And then people that were born in Africa. So look at this. Thank you very much. People that were born in Asia. Okay. A lot of people. Thank you very much. And people born in Europe. Well, yeah, we're in Europe, it's normal. Thank you very much. Can I sit down? Yeah, I mean, we are in Europe, it's normal, right? But still, can't you see the diversity that we have in this church? Isn't this amazing? I love this church because of for many reasons, but also India. It's Asia as well. Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah, I know. This is Australia, New Zealand. Is there anybody from Australia, New Zealand? Oh, yes. So, you know, Australia or New Zealand are just at the other side of the globe. You see? It's a global world. It's amazing. Anybody else? Je pense qu'ils sont dans l'Asie. L'Asie. So, you see? Definitely we're a global church. But you can see this. And this is the mission of our church here. We exist to welcome people from all nations. There you go. Here you are. So, okay, let's continue. You know what? When I think about this, I always remember a passage in Revelation chapter 7. And there is talking about this vision. And John is having a vision that is given to the church that is under persecution. Paul was explaining to us the reason of that vision. And it's a vision that wants to be detailed and wants to explain what is true, what will happen in the future, that we learned last Sunday. And there we can see a big host of people, a multitude of people from every nation, every tribe, every language, in front of the throne of God, in front of the Lamb. So, you know, we are making that real. We're approaching. Well, so now let's go to the Bible. And so let's look for the purpose in the Bible as well. So let's see some people very quickly. So what about Adam, the first man on the earth? What was the reason? What was the purpose God had to create the humanity? So it was show, unveil the glory of God. And when we talk about the glory of God, what we are thinking, or what the meaning about this is to show who God is. Abraham, so the purpose was to create a new people, to show God to the nations again. What about Moses? To free that people to go to the place and continue with the plan. What about Joshua? What about Ruth? What about David? So lead and establish God's people in the center of the world to shine again. What about the prophets? To bring discipline to God's people. What about Esther? We were discussing the life group last week. So to protect God's people. What about Nehemiah? To restore their original plan for God's people. What about John the Baptist or Mary? To prepare the way for the plan's cornerstone, which is Jesus. What about Jesus? To show the way and save the world. And what about the apostles? Continue the mission, start up the church. So, you see, there's purpose always behind everything we look at. There's purpose in the universe, there's purpose in the world, in the history, in the Bible. So, let's read together this passage in Ephesians. I wanted to read the whole passage, but it's too long. But please do it at home. Ephesians chapter 1, from the verse 3 to 12, we will especially focus on verse 11. So we can read the first 3 and then jump into 9. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then explains everything we have in Christ. So making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to his plan or the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. So again. So what we can read here is that the purpose in this passage is expressed like this like a universal sentence, which is to unite all things in Christ. And there's like something, let's say, like more for us, which is that we are to the praise of his glory, to the praise of God's glory. So, and this is what I want to tell you this morning. This is our purpose. This is God's purpose for us. So I want you to keep this in mind. Well, let me let you know something. Everything we do has an impact in the universe. I know the picture is very ugly. I don't want to say everything we do is like this. But I want to show you that there's an impact, and this is very important. No, we were talking before about the first writings, the first document, and there we can see a lot of wisdom writing. And there we learn that people in the ancient times, they discover that the universe is not only matter, and this is something that we still in Europe need to learn. There's a moral dimension of the universe. And what they thought in the Middle East, in every civilization that happened at the beginning, is that everything we do in the universe, everything we do in our country, in our house, in our society, has an impact. So when we take decisions, something will be affected. And this is important because in our materialistic world, we forget this. We only think about sustainability, which is important for us Christians. We believe that God has created the world and we need to take care of it. So we are governing something that is not ours. So we need to be responsible. We need to work for a responsible development, a sustainable development. And that's good and that's correct. And we need to work towards this target. But it's not only this. It's not only the material. There's a moral dimension. And when you decide something, this what you decide will affect other people, will affect God's plan. And that's why the wisdom writing were developed, to help people to understand you need to do the right thing, even if people still didn't know a lot about God, but to understand how important this is. So I want you to know this. Your life leaves a trace on the earth. Everything you do, what you will do this morning or this afternoon or this evening, that will leave a trace in this planet. We always say we are saved by faith, and it's true. We are not saved by works. Not by works, we read again in Ephesians chapter 2. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And this is very important. So we are not saved by works, but we are saved for works. And this is linked to my previous sentence. Everything you do has an impact. But God, He has prepared a way for you to follow, an impact to be done, to happen in the world. Because He has a plan. There's a purpose, and He wants you to follow that path to make the right impact on the world. So God's renewal plan for creation, to reunite everything in Christ, that includes a path prepared for us to walk. Isn't that impressive? So this is pointing to me as a person. Everything I do, every step I take, you know, when I walk in the world, when I take decisions. So our activity in the workplace, in the school, in the university, when we are with friends at home, is part of His plan to fulfill His purpose. And I want you to think like this. So it's not when you are doing something, you are taking a decision to do something, not now or later, whatever, that has an impact. And you can choose all the time. But there's an impact you can take, a positive impact. You can have an impact to be aligned to God's renewal plan for creation or not. Because you have a choice. And, for example, we can think about Adam and Eve. They rejected to walk in God's good works path. They rejected. And there were consequences, may I say cosmic consequences, in the whole universe. We can read in the Bible many, many times that people rejected to follow on God's path. For example, the Pharisees in Luke chapter 7. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. In this case, here, the passage is talking about people coming to John to be baptized. They said, no, I'm sorry, I decide this is not what they have to do. Rejection. But what about Peter? Apostle Peter. So Peter rejected knowing Jesus when he was in the yard, in the high priest's yard. He rejected. He said, no, I don't know him. But some weeks later, Peter was arrested in the temple preaching the gospel. It's the same person. What's the difference? The decision. He decided to accept God's plan to fulfill his purpose. A decision. So we have a choice, and we have to choose all the time. And we are choosing all the time. This is what I wanted to let you know this morning. You are choosing, even if you are not conscious of this, you are choosing every day, every minute. You choose. Then maybe you don't realize that you are taking decisions, if this is affecting or not to God's plan. But the visible impact of our works doesn't depend on us. Maybe you decide something, you think, okay, but if I do this, nobody will know. Nobody cares. Nobody cares? Is there a purpose in this universe? Somebody cares, the world, the people, you? Absolutely. Our God. So, maybe we don't see what is the impact. Maybe we think, okay, we need to do very important things to have a high, big impact. But is this important? Is this relevant for us? Is this what we need to focus on? You know, the impact of our works doesn't depend on us, but on his plan. He may decide to use anything. He may decide to use a storm or a whale to bring a prophet back to the place. Do you think that the prophet Jonah was thinking about this or planning about this, for example? Everything depends on his will and his plan. And I want to remark this is very, very important. Take the right decision all the time. Don't care if this has a visible impact or not. And the moment is now. Now. And if you look to that clock over there, you can see the hours look strange, because every hour is now. Now, 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 now. Yeah. You know, God has saved us with a purpose that is always passing in front of us. As I said, every minute of our life, we are taking decisions. So the moment to decide is now. So my invitation to you is act now or regret later. Simple as this. Act now or regret later. And here there's a consequence that I want you to be informed, because I think it's important. Every time we choose to follow the narrow path, which is be aligned with God's will, to follow on the good works he has prepared for us, we feel our hunger and realize how much we need him. But on the contrary as well. If we're on the broad road, we don't realize how hungry we are, and every time we are less and less hungry. This is like people that, you know, have some disease and don't eat, and I don't need to eat, and I don't need to eat, and they don't see the way they are. They are. They need to eat. It's the same thing, guys. Exactly the same thing. When we are not following Jesus Christ, when we are not taking the right decision, when we are not aligned with him, what happens is that we don't realize we are hungry. We don't need God. We continue like this. We don't need the Bible. We don't need to be with people in the church. I can be at home. I don't need to come to church. You know, it's very sunny today. Pray. Okay, I will pray later. And I want to tell you, you don't need to pray later. You need to pray now. Because the moment is now. And my invitation to you is, think about now. Don't leave that door today. Without the decision to align with him in this moment. Don't leave that door today thinking that you can do this later, and tomorrow I will think if I will follow more closely to Jesus. If I will start reading the Bible, I will tell my friends that I'm a Christian, and I will show that I really love the Lord. And, you know, you have the two Peters there. Which Peter do you want to be? So the moment is now. It's now. And finally, just want to look at the church. The church has a purpose, definitely. Local churches, Christian organizations, so they feature prominently in God's plan and his purpose to unite the world in Christ, for sure. The cross made our salvation, that's true, but also, and this is very, very important, also we can read in Ephesians, he mended the separation between Jews and Gentiles. So this unity is an example of the unifying work of God. The church is a place where people from different ages, backgrounds, nationalities gather together around our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are doing this, we are solving and we are showing to the world that we can be united, that we can be together. Together. Not separate by languages, by tribes, by nations. Trinity, our church, therefore, has a role impacting different communities in Strasbourg as an international church. And this international church can show this mending process that God wants to carry over in this world, that unite all things in Christ. And this unique role we have here is something we can show the world. We can show everybody here in Strasbourg. What we are doing here, we're progressing toward that unity. We are progressing toward God's plan, definitely. Let's be attentive to the voice of the Spirit to maintain the unity, to pray for our leaders in the church. And be ready to act together when the plan for next year is developed. My invitation is, please, we need to fulfill God's purpose in our lives and in the church. Be aligned. Work together. Let's listen. Let's pray. But God has a plan for us. And I'm really sure that if we take the right decision, if we decide to work, to act, this will have enormous consequences in this city. Our decisions will impact. Will not destroy, will impact for good. And this is everything I wanted to share to you. Thank you.